You're listening to the Fast Break Podcast with Carly Thibault Dudonis and JJ Duke, an all-access pass to the Fairfield University women's basketball program only on the Stag Sports Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly Podcast. And, well, on the day that we are recording, this would be Monday, March the 4th, we're literally about 2 hours after breaking news has just come out for the first time in program history, and only for the fourth time in MAC women's basketball history. Fairfield University are amongst the top 25. They've finally gone and done it. They are ranked 25th in the country. Maybe a little bit overdue, but that's only my opinion. And this is a program right now that enters this week's action on a 24-game winning streak, 26-1 overall, and still trying to chase down that perfection of 20-0 in the league, which is only one other team in the 20-game MAC circuit that's done that. We'll get to that all in a little bit as the show goes on. I'm JJ Duke. Coach Carly is with me. And Carly, waking up this morning and finding out the news must have been a pretty good day for you guys.
It was a great way to wake up this morning. And just a pleasure to be able to tell my staff and our team and see the joy that came with that. You know, this team enjoys every moment along the way. And so, you know, life is only as fun as the people you share it with. So for me, the people make the place, and it's just a joy to do it with the people I'm around every day.
And now this is check mark number two, because yep. In the last couple of weeks it's been, okay, keep pushing the bar. Well, that was kind of even the moderate, you know, limit, if you will, the bottom line. Then it's the regular season trophy. That came – well, now 10 days ago, give or take, by the time you guys are listening to this. Now the ranking, and now it's, what, the regular season, perfect mark, and yep. Then go win another trophy, and then win a couple games in the tournament,
yep.
And then we go to the Final Four. It's all, you know, just kind of written in the contract, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we've relied on our captains and our upperclassmen to kind of keep us focused on the small goals ahead of us, and we've taken it one day at a time all year long. But now kind of as you get to the end here, there are some – more acute goals right in front of you. And so, you know, last 2 weeks ago, it was, you know, winning the regular season. And then last week, I know our captains were hyper-focused with our team of, you know, let's go get that ranking. And then, you know, it's never been done here to win, have an undefeated MAC conference. So there's a lot of, you know, exciting things still ahead of us.
Yeah, the last closest was not all that long ago, just 2 years ago. The 19-1, but the elusive 20-0 still yep. awaits. We're also joined by Amina Salimovic. And Amina, what was your response when you found out the good news today?
Honestly, I was so excited, and I feel like it was just a long time coming. You know, for it, we worked so hard throughout the whole season and try to stay as consistent as possible with everything that we did in order to get here today. So I think it was just more of like a wow, like we did it, you yeah. know, and we finally got here. So it was great news.
Was it almost kind of that chip on your shoulder knowing that the wins kept racking up and you're wondering, all right, when is it going to be the week? Is there even like scoreboard watching every Sunday to be like, okay, who's losing today? Like we need that little extra jump.
Yes, honestly, like we were definitely on it. Every one of us were, you know, texting in the group chat, talking about, oh, this team lost. Oh, this team's tied in the overtime. And like we're like watching and, you know, staying ready, staying on our feet, you know, waiting for our time to come.
And Carly, I did message Blake. I think it was this time last week and saying like, okay, I know. And he put out there, he's now big West Southland like fan on Sunday afternoons because that's on ESPN Plus. So I was like, so give me the game du jour. He's like, nope, we're only focusing on teams that are losing.
There's a lot of basketball in our house,
and
yeah, we don't miss much, and we do end up watching a lot of like Pac-12 West Coast games because by the time we finish what we need to do, it's like 11 p.m. I'm like, what's on TV that we can put on while we finish film? So
that's awesome.
Lots of basketball in the Thibault Dudonis household.
Most definitely. Let's get into the last few games because the last time we chatted, Fairfield were right before going up to Loudonville, New York, to take on Siena, and arguably, I mean, that probably was one of the more fun games just to watch as a neutral because it looked like, Carly, both Fairfield and Siena mm-hmm. playing great basketball. Mm-hmm. You guys had runs. Siena had runs. Mm-hmm. Meg Anderson and Janelle Brown did what they did. Then mm-hmm. Teresa Cipolla goes off and drops 29 points, which should be said that's an unreal effort from her. But what was it like from your guys' mentality, knowing that team has always played Fairfield so mm-hmm. well since you've been here? And thanks for that, Amina, by the way. We'll get to your part in that on the opposite side a little later on. But, yeah, just a good group, two good teams going at it.
It was a great matchup. And we knew going into that week in particular that was going to be two dogfights. Siena obviously is a great matchup for each other. We always have great battles with one another. And I think even prior to me being here, some of our returners in Nelly and Beach and those guys, you know, they hadn't won there in a while. That 19-1 year, that was their one loss. And so I know Nelly was a little extra motivated by that. And I know, you know, Mina probably had some motivation as well. But this team just, again, regardless of who the opponent is, they're ready to go. But I definitely think that one was circled as far as we knew we had to take care of business on the road.
The group was able to score on all levels, got a lot of touches in the paint, got a lot of threes to go your way, and you're also to get a lot of points off turnovers as well in good areas. So in terms of the game plan and knowing that they like to be a bit physical, mm-hmm. they like to in some way stylistically play the same way as Fairfield, mm-hmm. Where did you guys need to be at the top level of execution to know that, like, if we can do this mm-hmm. right, this will be our day?
We knew we had to rebound well. That's an area that they really hurt us, particularly in the second half of our first game against us. They did a really great job on the offensive board. So we knew we had to be consistent in our ability to block out and keep them to one shot, which I think they only ended up with 11-0 boards, which, you know, I think they may have had 16 or 17 or something like that in our first game, maybe 19. I can't remember exactly. So we knew we had to do a great job of keeping them one and done and then taking care of the ball. They were on a stretch where they were turning over teams 21, 22, 23 plus times a game. And so we knew we had to do that. We didn't do a great job, I would say, in that area, but and we didn't start the game great in that area. But I think as the game wore on and we kind of settled in, we found our rhythm.
And Amina, for you, I know first off defensively, you and Nicole Gallagher had a really good game on that one. I think it's the combined 14 D boards in that one. Mm-hmm. You guys were able to seal out a number of their keys. I know they were obviously down with some injuries and some mm-hmm. unavailabilities, but you didn't give up many second chance opportunities, which I know that's something that Siena really does thrive on.
Yeah, I think that was one of the, you know, as Coach Carley says, it was in our game plan. And, you know, focusing on those little details before a game is huge for the team. And I think that, you know, Nicole did a great job. She does a great job getting position as a guard. I mean, it's unbelievable. So she had a big impact on that and just going after every board. And that's what you can control. You know, you can't control when the ball goes in the basket, if it goes in the basket, but you can control going after every ball and boxing out. So.
That's a callback, by the way, to our last episode, because, Carly, you said that Nikki G will mm-hmm. come up with a couple of big plays, and she Thanks. Did have that.
Her and Amina both have that knack. You know, Amina, I've said it on, I think, a couple different broadcasts, but, like, she saves our bacon. She just, like, flies out of nowhere. You think that, you know, we're in a tough position to get the ball, and then Amina just, like, is up at the rim rebounding at her size. And it's so the two of them have done a great job of kind of steadying us when we've had some tough rebounding opponents.
Yep. Was it a little extra motivation for you going back to your old stomping grounds and coming away with the result? I know I saw you before the home game when Siena came here, and there were hugs with all the coaches, but kind of saw that look of like, okay, it's time to turn it on now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I left on a good note. Everything's good with them, but at the end of the day, like, they are a MAC team, and when it comes, you know, we walk on the court, and, you know, it's just business on the court. It was a little different, you know, going back there and not playing for them, but seeing all the people that I've, you know, used to seeing. But at the end of the day, you know, I love playing for this Fairfield team, and I was just ready to go and ready to give all I could to, you know, for the team to get a dub.
In those types of games, it has to be comforting knowing that if you get that first touch out of the way, the first shot to go down, first board, that the nerves kind of go away and you just remind yourself that it is, just as you said, another game of basketball. But was that even there in any capacity?
I tried to stay as relaxed as I could, just like any other game, you know, try to just, you know, do pregame ritual, you know, take some deep breaths and just focus on the game plan, focus in on what we had to do to get the win, and that was it.
And I credit, I mean, I think that's easier said than done. I think that's a really tall task with, that's, you know, former teammates. And she did a great job of just letting the game come to her and was really efficient in what she did all day. So that's a huge credit to her poise and her experience.
We move forward to the second game of that 2-game and 3-day set. And this is Niagara. And that we all know what was coming in that one, the Hurricane Havoc style of defense. They're not going to let you sleep for 40 minutes. But the pretty efficient start to the game going 8-0 run the first, what, minute, 10 seconds, give or take, and forcing Coach Jada Pierce to call a timeout. I know it's always the classic case of get out to an early start, but that's about as good as you could do it.
Yeah, we were able to generate some early layups that kind of just let us settle in. Nelly and Katie, I thought, did a really good job of just kind of breaking that first initial trap with the first initial wave of pressure. And then it led to easy scores for us early on. And we know that's how they play. If you get back on your heels and you're hesitant, they prey on that. And so, you know, credit to our 2-point guards that started the game off, and then Iza came in and made a huge impact as well. But those guys did a great job of just, you know, getting us some of that, those early looks and easy looks for some confidence early on.
And then once the game got into the flow, you guys, the shot selection was as good as it was ever going to get. I don't think the group shot below 55% in a quarter, which is, I mean, that's video game type numbers at this stage. But you had six players in double figures, handle the press well, as we've said. Meg Anderson, who must love the color purple, are playing against it, because I think she's averaging 28 points per game against Niagara. What is it about Meg Anderson that just shows out in those games, by the way?
Meg's a killer. You know, she's unfazed. And, you know, she'd be the first to say about, you know, how her teammates created for her and all that. But truly, in a game like that, if you have guards that can handle some backcourt traps, some early pressure, some running jumps, then you do have 4-on-3s and 3-on-2s. And we have, you know, great players like Amina and Meg on the front court who can convert at a high rate, which was why you see some of those numbers.
And also, the way that they press, it's not always the first wave. It's that second or maybe even the third wave sometimes. So you talk about the 4-on-3, 3-on-2, and Mina knowing for where you are on the floor at that time, back of your mind, someone's always coming to try and close out, even in odd number situations. So how do you guys keep your heads in those sorts of games, knowing that, again, is just chaos?
I think just staying composed. Like, when you catch the ball, you have an idea that the trap's coming, but that means someone else is open. Another one of my teammates is open, and I think that's what keeps us composed. And it's incredible that this team, like, a lot of teams will come in, you know, scared of Niagara's, you know, defense, but I think every one of us are confident in our ability to pass the ball, move the ball, and that's a huge reason why six of us were in double figures, because we moved the ball so well, and we knew that we would just break them down if we just kept moving the ball.
And that's a testament to how much you guys have put in the gym off season, during the season. We've watched games where Fairfield may not be at their best on a specific day, but Amina, you guys just wear down teams with your athleticism, your duration of it, because it looks like you guys can play 50, 55 minutes. A lot easier said than done, folks, by the way. But it's serious where you guys probably, this might be one of the more fitter teams in the country, let alone in this league. And that has carried you guys a little bit at times when it's needed to.
Yeah, Dave has done a great job in keeping us in good shape. You know, in the off season, obviously, you know, all the conditioning that we've done. But it's not just off season. You know, we're still continuing to condition and do the right things with Dave, even in season. And Coach Carley does a great job with understanding when our bodies are being pushed too much. And, you know, the day before games, not to do too much. And understanding, you know, when it's time to back off a little. So I think that's made a huge impact in preserving our bodies and, you know, limiting our injuries on the team.
And buy-in, I think, has to come from everybody, right, Carley, at this point? Because it's not like we're in game 15 or 16. We're in the last week of the season now. And, I mean, how much do you guys in advance game plan for that strength and conditioning? You know, okay, this is what we can get out of this group, not going too much at the same time, but not doing little, I guess, is probably the easiest way of asking.
I'd first, you know, just start by piggybacking on what Amina said about, you know, Dave. He does, our strength and conditioning coach does a great job. And he's been saying since, I think, June, we're going to be the best conditioned team in the MAC. And it's not just words, you know, it's what he does with them day in and day out, not only to keep them healthy, but to keep them strong and in great shape. So shout out to him. And then my staff, I think, does a really good job of, you know, communicating with our medical staff, communicating with, you know, Kayla and our staff, and making sure that we're, you know, giving the right loads to different people who might have nagging injuries. And then I think that's for me, I'm someone that did play Division I basketball. So I think I have a pretty good pulse of how they're feeling, what, you know, if they need to be pushed, if we need to get their heart rate up, or if we need to pull back a little bit. And it's a read every single day. But we do intentionally find days each week to try and get their heart rate up and get up and down a little bit, because we do thrive on playing fast. So you have to kind of find a good balance. But longer is not always better at this time of year. So, like, you know, today, for example, we did a good, really, you know, hard 10 to 15 minute segment of getting up and down. And that was it. In addition to a lot of skills and team and some fundamentals. And so we kind of balance that throughout the course of the week. But then the other thing I would touch on, and we've talked probably ad nauseum on this podcast about our depth, but we do feel like we can be more fresh this time of year and even ramp up our pressure and our pace even more, because there's nobody on our stat sheet that's playing 35 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So I think that's another added advantage this time of year as well.
Sure. 26 or 27. I don't think Fairfield has a player that's in the top 25 in this conference in minutes played per game.
We've got nobody over 30.
Which is unbelievable this time of the year. And it's a credit to not only the buy-in at the top of the roster, but the players that know, like, hey, you're going to have an opportunity to not only just play, but you're going to play meaningful minutes at some point. And you have to keep the load going, keep the standards high, because if you slip, the last thing that you want, and Amina, if you're, like, thinking, okay, up by 20 with 3 minutes to go, this game should be done and dusted. All of a sudden, oh, wait, opponent just goes on a 12-0 run. We have to stick everybody back out in the court.
Yeah, we certainly we trust everybody on this team to have different moments and step up. And so I think that's a testament to, like, I can play 20 different lineups and, you know, different combinations, and I know that they can get the job done. And they do it every day in practice. We mix that up. But, you know, we are intentional about the minutes that we play and the stretches in a game that they play so that we can stay at the pace that we do.
Before we turn the page, trophy time comes after the game on Saturday. Amina, that must have been nice to have that little – I know it's the first stage of a celebration, but still just to have that experience with the group on your floor and getting a trophy. Yeah, not too bad for a Saturday afternoon.
Definitely not. It just felt great, you know, to be able to celebrate with my teammates and, you know, feel that feeling of success. Like, yes, we've gotten this far, but there's still more to come. So, yes, we celebrated and enjoyed that time, but we knew that, you know, we still have a couple games left to check off and then Atlantic City.
And make sure that the coaches had to do some extra laundry after the game as well, because the attire was soaked after that game.
Yeah, I was a little bummed because our Black Student Union had a gala that night, and the hair was not hairing at that point after the water bath.
All right, so
I'll take the water bath.
Always take the celebratory water bath. At least it's not the you know, sport drink bath, which would be a little bit more challenging.
Yes, that would have been tough.
All right, so then quickly we go to this past week's worth of games, and I know Carly, you and I had the conversation after the Quinnipiac on the broadcast, saying that there's still a lot of standards that were left to be desired. Obviously, one of those is to get ranked. Obviously, that job has now been checked off. But still, you want to play through the schedule. Don't want to drop down to your opponents and let anybody think for a second that the group is letting up. So going into Quinnipiac, obviously, had a good game up at their place, but just more of the same on Thursday and just keep grinding through.
And we knew, I mean, that week going into it, we knew we could win. You know, be in a position to win the regular season if we'd won both and taken care of business in both in that upcoming week. And so, you know, it's like say less to this team, and they get motivated off of that. But, you know, with Quinnipiac being a rival, that's added motivation. And then the thing that we always go back to as a team is trying to be our best self every day. And so that's kind of the core and the value that guides you. But then, you know, you want to toss in some extra, you know, spice and salt and all that. And we found a lot of other ways to be ready. But there were some things in our first Quinnipiac game that we did really well. And there's always, you know, a bucket or two of things that we know we could have done better at. So as you go to game plan, you look at a game like that and figure out, okay, how can we be even more disruptive than we were in the first game? And that's something that I think our team took to heart and did a great job. I mean, Anna Foley for them has been playing great. And so I think, you know, you look at our Roadrunners and Amina and Megan and Mac did a fantastic job of disrupting and taking some certain things away of where they were playing really well.
Amina, going into those games knowing that there's that one target that everyone's going to be keeping an eye on, Meg Anderson often enough is the opponent's kind of player, but Anna Foley was theirs, and you, as Coach said, you three really did a great job at keeping her quiet and by extension keeping everybody else quiet. And you talked about wearing down teams. What was it about that Quinnipiac night this past Thursday saying that, yeah, we could just frustrate them to all ends and not let them have a good day at the office?
I think it's understanding kind of what Coach Carly said, where we kind of lacked in the first game against them. And they ran a lot of their offense through Anna Foley and their high post area. So we knew going into that game that if we can disrupt this, like, they can't run offense. And I think that was our success in the Quinnipiac game, is if we disrupt and do our work early, you know, limit the catches that their posts get, then their offense is going to be very limited. And I think that's ultimately what happened at the end of the game.
And we haven't seen a lot of teams. I know there are some in the MAC that will have that kind of premier post player, CeCe Aleko being one for Canisius, obviously Anna for Quinnipiac. But for you, I guess in that position, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this is going to be a day where I get to do my thing today. It's not just all about the guards. I get the knockdown shots.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the great thing about our team is anyone can be on fire that night. And we're so versatile, and we have so much talent on this team that you never know who's going to have a great game. Sometimes it's, you know, the whole team that – it's always the whole team that contributes, like – everyone has their way that they contribute, and it may be different every game, which is the beauty of it.
Well, hey, he had a good game as well with 7 of 11 from the floor and 18 points. Carly, then the last game, Manhattan. Now, a lot of us were at Men's Lacrosse trying to, you know, somehow swim through that absolute monsoon.
Oh,
and
gosh.
All of a sudden, we check our phones at the end of that game, and oh, my goodness, you guys are shooting 60-some-odd percent from the floor in a place that, well, traditionally Fairfield and a lot of MAC teams never shoot well in that gym. What was the sauce on that day? Because what was it, 40-17 at halftime?
We had some saved up from the Quinnipiac game, you know, so we had those to spare. But no, I think early on we had some ways that we knew we needed to get you know, Manhattan on the run. They're really good in the half court, and that's a tough place to play. And so we tried to kind of again dictate defensively to get some easy and early looks offensively. And I think that we just watched some film as a team. I think Nelly did a really good job early of just kind of picking apart some ball screens. We just watched like the first clip of the game. Amina sets a great ball screen for Nelly, rolls hard, draws multiple defenders, and then, you know, finds Katie wide open, who's fearless. So to Amina's point, you know, the ball does touch a lot of different people's hands, and while Amina doesn't get any credit for that play, her setting a great screen, rolling hard to the rim, drawing a lot of attention after the game she had at Quinnipiac, I think that just kind of seeing the ball go in early gave us a ton of confidence to keep pushing that lead.
One bone I've got to pick from that game, and it's not anything to do with players on the floor. Chris Smooth Williams, I love the guy. He wants to take Janelle Brown on one-on-one at some point.
Oh, I got him back in the postgame interview.
Oh, no, I know you did, but this is something we got to talk about here because, like, sorry, I love Smooth, but Nelly's got that on toast.
I mean, my money's on Nelly. I can't put money on it, but my money would be on Nelly, theoretically.
Smooth, if you're listening, love you, dude. Great guy. What a player he was, by the way.
I think he blamed that on the suit maybe afterwards.
Yeah, it's always the equipment or the air quality in the gym, right? Something along those lines. Yeah, so that kind of wraps up the last four games. Again, a lot that we had to get to over the course of the last couple of weeks. Two to come. We'll highlight that at the end of the show. But now, Amina, we kind of chat about you and your journey here with Fairfield. So I'm very fascinated to know. And there's not often opportunities where players transfer within the same conference. You spoke, obviously, that you left on a good note with Siena. Was it something about the MAC that you really enjoyed that you just wanted to go to another school, or is it just kind of perfect timing coming to Fairfield?
I think when I did enter the portal, I wasn't expecting to stay in the MAC.
Okay.
It wasn't something that I was expecting, but I think it was something that was kind of meant to be, honestly, now. I just visited, and I loved the coaching staff. I loved how at home I felt. I loved, you know, what they saw in me and, like, what they said, and honestly, like, everything just kind of seemed to fit well, and I was like, I think this is something I have to do because it feels right, and I just went with my gut at the end of the day, and I'm happy I did. So
now, unlike the previous players that we've talked to that came from other schools, may have not known much about this Fairfield program, you've played against Fairfield four times, now that I have to think about that for a second, but twice in this facility against now your current coach. So was there anything that you were maybe noticing when you're playing with Siena about this Fairfield team? Or obviously you played in this gym, so clearly that, you know, it's a beautiful arena that you get to play in and call home now. But it's like, did you know that, like, hey, there's something going on here that I might think about if there's an opportunity that arises?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know the second time we played here last year, you know, it was a tough overtime game, and I just saw how, like, tough the team was, and I know they were missing a couple players as well, and I was honestly impressed by, like, how much they stayed together because, I mean, it was a tough game, you know, on both sides. I also noticed, I mean, they had some great post players. I remember, you know, Dre and Callie, and they did a good job as far as, you know, running their offense, and I liked how I was really impressed by, like, Callie, just, like, the way that she played freely and, you know, the way that she had some, like, awesome moves in the post. I was like, yeah, like, this looks like, you know, like, a great place for me to be, and I feel like I could fit in the offense here. And, yeah, so that's kind of the few things I remember, you know, before I initially ever even thought about coming here. Those are, like, some of the things going through my mind.
Definitely. And for Carly, for you, when you see Amina's name pop up in the portal. What's the early thoughts about bringing her into this program?
I remember it exactly when because Blake and Erica Brown are kind of the portal checkers on our staff, and I remember when Blake came in like the office at our house and was like, the you know, kid from Siena, Amina, went in the portal, and we're like, oh wow, and he's like, oh, let me see if I can get in touch with her. And she kicked our butt both times we played him, so that was an added bonus. But she fit the way that we were continuing to try to recruit towards and play. You know, the way that we played last year is significantly different offensively than how we play this year. There's some similarities, but she's the type of, you know, road runner.
Sure.
Callie has a lot of those similarities of her ability to create as well. But Amina stretched it to three. You know, I think just whooped us on pick and pop jumpers at Siena last year. And we knew we wanted to keep stretching the floor. And so she was another step in that direction. And her versatility and efficiency was impressive. And so, you know, after a couple conversations, I know she talked with Coach Blake and her and I talked, and then she came to campus pretty quickly thereafter on an unofficial and got to meet some of the girls. And just every step of the way, it kind of felt right and felt like a great fit.
And I guess it always proves to a point as well that you never, quote unquote, burn bridges. You always keep open, you know, conversations, dialogues, because you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You might see people down the road again. And I guess when, as you said, Amina's name comes up, boom, that's the opportunity. And, you know, I know she was an early piece into bringing in a lot of the recruits, both freshmen and transfers in. So when you see she's available, trying to bring her in, how big of that was like the cornerstone to say, like, this is the starting point, this is who we need to build around, now we have to go get these other pieces?
It's huge. I mean, and she's someone that it's easy to sell playing with Amina, because she, you know, she's someone, she's going to get you an automatic assist because she finishes so well. She can, you know, on a pick and roll hurt you in a lot of different ways. And I think the thing that we were really excited about, not, you know, to take her game out of it, she's a great leader. She's a great teammate. And I think when we knew we were bringing in a bunch of younger players, particularly young road, you know, post players,
sure,
road runners, her experience was going to be really important to help Meg and Carly and some of those younger guys continue to learn and develop as well.
And I guess for you and Mina, with that, since you've played in this league, you have a lot of younger players asking you about what things are like. So I'm curious to know, what have you been talking with Meg? What have you been talking with just any of the other younger players to say, like, this is what you need to do to have success in this conference?
Throughout, I feel like, you know, just playing as a team and, you know, like moving the ball, like in the MAC, like, teams, you can break teams down defensively. Like,
yep,
if you use the whole shot clock, like, you can, there's always going to be an open player. Like, someone is going to mess up on defense at some point. So I think it's just constantly, like, moving the ball, finding your teammates, you know, especially being efficient in the little details. I think a lot of the times people forget, like, doing those little things leads to a win at the end, you know? So I think, like Coach Kelly said, like, a lot of things don't show up on the stat sheet, but it's like, if we continue to do those little things first and start honing in on, like, those little things, eventually everything else will come into play. So I think that was a lot of things that I feel like I've talked to them about.
That's awesome.
And I can give an example too. I mean, Amina is someone that you show her something, or you know, give her some feedback. I know her and Coach Blake talk a lot just as her position coach, and she comes to every film session with a notebook and notes and is very detail oriented in that way. And I think not only does that help her continue to take those small, whether it's nuances and coaching thoughts and apply them, but I think some of the younger ones are seeing that whatever process works for them, the little things with that are really important. So you can tell her something as small as you know, something with her footwork or leaning or fading on her shot, and she can immediately implement that. And that, I think that's a sign of experience and leadership.
A question that just popped into my head, and maybe for a lot of younger players that might be listening to this and might have not had an experience with having a positional coach, and I'm talking more like middle school, high school, or someone that's looking to come into the college level, how important is it to have that regular dialogue with your position coach and to say, like, these are the things I need to work on, or having the coach tell you this is what you need to do, getting on that same page? What is that experience like?
That experience is very, very good to your development as individual player. So working on your skills, sometimes, I mean, not always, but you can't always see, like, what you're doing wrong. So having a positional coach who's, you know, honing in on those details and knows, you know, more about, like, can, like, see you play and watch where you're kind of making those mistakes, I think having that healthy relationship with your coach is great, and it helps you also learn to take feedback and, you know, act on it and try to, you know, become more coachable as the season goes along, and just having that relationship, it builds a relationship with your coach as well.
No, most definitely. Again, because we do get a lot of people that listen to this at different levels, so I think it's fascinating for anybody to be like, oh, okay, so we always see all these coaches that are on the sidelines, but what is their actual role when it comes to the behind-the-scenes stuff? So I feel like that's kind of an important thing. And Carly, maybe just to wrap this up, you know, as we kind of go throughout the rest of this regular season and into the postseason, Amina, by the way, who won a postseason game last year, has that experience. What do you think, you know, her biggest asset can be as we go down to the final stretch now of this 23-24 season?
I think Amina impacts the game in a lot of different ways. And we've talked about her rebounding already, but I think that it has been a reason we've won a lot of games this year, because she just ends possessions by her ability to come out of nowhere and grab a defensive rebound or keeps them alive on the offensive end. And as she said, that's something she can control every single night. Not to mention the fact that she is very efficient. So her and all of our Roadrunners do a really good job. If teams want to switch against our five out motion, she has great hands and great feet and can catch, you know, any pass you throw at her. So she can kind of make teams pay if they do try and switch some of our screenaways, off ball screens or on ball screens. And then I think she's a very consistent player in how she prepares. And so I know myself and our coaching staff and our teammates have so much confidence that they know what they're going to get from Amina day in and day out. And I think that's really important this time of year, especially when, you know, the bright lights come on. She's been in that arena. She's been in that moment. And I think that's going to be really important for us to get to where we want to go.
Yeah, most definitely. And the road doesn't stop here. We still have two key games coming up this week, one of which a St. Peter's team that certainly made life interesting when they came up here. That 2-3 zone that Coach Blake told me, if you could break that zone, get them moving, it's going to be a good day at the office. It was a tough day when they came up here, so I'm certain that's going to be on Thursday night the main focal point for this group.
Absolutely. I think, you know, they did a great job of disrupting us in a lot of ways in our offensive game. I think we were a little bit sloppy in that game, and they, you know, they pressured us and kind of put us on our heels, which we typically try to do to other people. And I think for us, it's being able to find a flow, whether they're man or zone, because they do mix it up. And so I didn't think we did a great job of flowing regardless of what they were in. That's something we'll certainly pay attention to this week preparing. And then for us, again, what I will say about that game is that our defense won us another game there. And so knowing that has to travel with us, and then hopefully we bring some shots with us as well. But if not, we'll continue to defend and get it done. You know, the goal is to get it done one way or another.
No, for sure. And should be mentioned, by the way, because of that St. Peter's game held them to below 50. With that Quinnipiac holding them below 50, it's 9 times this year that Fairfield have held a MAC team to under 50 points. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad stat either. this is St. Peter's, and also the other part between them and Ryder, those are teams that are still playing for a lot. They're playing for momentum. They're playing for potential moving up seeds and maybe trying to get themselves a little bit better of a journey through their tournament. So that's always going to be kind of any team's main target, is just to peak at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And both those teams have some really dynamic scorers as well. And that's always dangerous. They you know, between St. Peter's with Jana and Jada Leonard, and those guys are really dangerous off the bounce and you know, both able to stretch it out to three. And then Ryder obviously has shooters and scorers all over the floor. So I think that we know we have our work cut out for us for both of those games, and we want to go into Atlantic City the same way for the same reasons, with momentum and playing our best basketball.
Absolutely. And before I go, I've already had my phone blown up a number of times that people want to get out to the last home game. Guys, I don't have any more tickets. So your guys' job is to go to fairfieldstags.com, find the number for the ticket office. It's there. Just go online. You can buy your tickets. We want to see as big and as full of a capacity on that Saturday afternoon against Ryder at 2 p.m., which, by the way, for those that have come, I think it's now 5 straight games or just about with over 1,000 people at home per contest, which he gave me a little smile. That must be it must be fun knowing, Amina, that you're coming in playing in front of full crowds or good loud gyms every time that you guys take the court at home.
Yeah, I love the feeling, you know, of playing in a packed gym, because you can really feel that love and support from the community, and hopefully it continues to grow, because that means that we're doing something right more and more people are interested in us. And as we continue to grow women's basketball in Fairfield, women's basketball, make history, you know, it's a great feeling, and hopefully we can pack it even more.
And it'd be nice to give them a nice little send-off as well on that senior day,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Yep, yep. We're excited to honor our seniors. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to come and just watch an amazing team. You don't want to miss a chance to watch this team that's truly record-breaking and history-making. And so, you know, I hope everybody gets a chance to come out, pack the arena for an amazing group of women.
I'd love to see y'all. The Leo, it's going to be a 2 p.m. start on Saturday the 9th. That is going to do it for this episode. We will have a MAC preview show, MAC tournament preview show. So Carly, we'll see you next week, and getting ready to talk about Atlantic City.
Thank you. Go Stags.
Go Stags. And Amina, thanks for coming on as well. Appreciate your time, and we'll be seeing you on the court soon.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me.
That's going to do it for this latest episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast. Make sure to reach out to us if you haven't already, because the Instagram game, the social media game is blowing up at Fairfield WBB on Instagram, at Stags WBBall on Twitter/X. That's going to do it for us, and we'll talk to you all next time. Until then, go Stags.
The Fast Break podcast is a presentation of Fairfield University Athletics. For future podcasts, videos, news, stats, and coverage of Fairfield Stags women's basketball, log on to fairfieldstags.com.